It is a new week, everybody, and a new week means more nerd talk from your favorite nerds at The Way We Nerd. I'm Danny Villalobos, and sitting next to me...
Kyle Bound, though technically it is the end of the week. Oh. Just saying. Sorry, please, proceed.
Also, very true. It is the end of the week.
Across from him.
Across from Kyle Bound.
There you go.
And next to him is
Joshua Potter.
Sorry, I threw Dan off.
That took me way off. Yeah, wow.
Wow.
I did not realize how much that would have messed up the timing.
We should start over.
Just kidding.
Don't get excited. Also, I'd like to point out that we're assuming that everybody loves us as nerds, and I would like to think that too. So
I don't think it's an assumption. I think everybody listening to us loves us.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
Or really hates us.
Or really hates us. We don't get enough hate mail. Come on, guys. Give me some hate mail.
Where's Kyle? Some
hate comments.
Send all your hate mail to danvillalobos at ihaveanemailaddress.org.
It's been kind of a slow week in nerd news.
It's been a slow summer.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the last couple of weeks, it's been kind of a few weeks, actually. It's been tough to find some stuff to talk about, but we always do. We always do. I think, Potter, you had some ideas.
Put me on the spot right away.
Well, yeah.
You just gave me a podcast.
I mean, you just gave me the list.
You tacitly agreed to.
Wait, pull out these contracts. Where did I sign any of this shit?
All right, well,
it's the standard rich and famous contract.
Oh, gotcha. No, okay, so here's something that I sent you guys during the week that we didn't really discuss. Maybe you guys didn't even read it, which is fine because we can discuss it now. Apparently, it has come out that Shia LaBeouf, the ever irascible, was approached to be in Suicide Squad, and WB declined him being in it because he's worked with David Ayer before.
That wonderful tank movie.
Yes, mm-hmm. Which was good, and he was great.
Wait, WB declined?
Yes, Warner Brothers said no.
This was also during the height of his when he was like. Saying he was going to eat some bum's face or whatever that crazy...
And being, like, molested at art galleries.
Yeah. So this was definitely the peak of his craziness.
Right.
But there is no doubt that Shia LaBeouf is a talented actor.
Yes, I mean, they said that, too. They were like, you're a talented actor, but, dude, you're crazy.
You're not worth the risk. That's what happened to RDJ so many years ago, the same kind of thing. Everybody knew Robert Downey Jr. was an amazing actor, but...
What role did you say it was for?
It was for
Suicide Squad?
Eastwood.
One of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it was Scott Eastwood's part.
If I were him, I wouldn't even want to have done that. Watching that movie, I was surprised that Scott Eastwood did it.
Well, Scott Eastwood's not that big of a star.
I know, but I thought even he's bigger than that.
Let's be fair, though. There might have been more to Eastwood's part that got cut out. Because
it's just one thing the article said was that when Will Smith got cast as Deadshot, it got reworked to play him up more.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
And that's one reason Tom Hardy said no to the script, I remember, because it turned into a Deadshot movie. That's not true.
Tom Hardy was pissed that he couldn't do it. He was pissed at Inarritu because the what's his shit went over what was the name of it?
I heard that he didn't want to do it anymore once it was clear that, I mean, that makes sense, too. That guy is like, you know, an actor.
Yeah.
So I could see him not wanting to play that weird-looking dude.
Well, this Randall... No, he was going to play Randall Flagg. But this is the thing, is if Tom Hardy would have been in the movie, no respect to Joel Kinnaman, who was a fine guy, if Hardy would have been in the movie, I don't think they would have sacrificed. It would have been more of a Hardy, Will Smith, Margot Robbie
movie. Tete-a-tete.
Yes.
And it wouldn't have been any better.
Well, that's the thing. Do we think that him being in it, had it been played up better, would have made the movie better?
Yeah, I think the boof at least makes that character like
a character.
You're paying attention.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was Scott Eastwood.
Who?
Yeah, I didn't realize.
What character?
Although, to be fair, he does get to sacrifice himself, which is kind of cool at the end. So he gets kind of a noble death, as it were.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
he's the one who sets the charge underneath the big monster.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh,
I didn't realize
he died.
Yes, also, that makes
me
even
just assumed he was fine.
No, he definitely
died. That's fucking stupid. Why wouldn't Killer
Croc? Right? Didn't
because Killer Croc can't die. He was there. He was fighting all the little monsters underwater. Why Scott went to go blow it?
The movie clearly had a lasting impact on me.
Yeah. Clearly, yes.
Well, I've seen it 4 times. So,
and I feel like if LaBeouf was in, I feel like if you have LaBeouf in that movie and the version of the Joker Jared Leto wanted to be, It was a completely different movie that's closer to like Nymphomaniac than it is Suicide Squad. Yeah.
I really want. I really just want every deleted scene with the Joker. I don't need a Joker cut. I just want every scene with him because I when I saw it again this fourth time, I was still so entertained by. I guess I just love Joker.
How the fuck did you watch that movie four times?
Because I liked it. I told you from the very beginning.
I know, but four times.
Well, I went to see it on IMAX. I didn't get to see it on IMAX 3D, which was awesome. On IMAX
okay, 3D. So that's twice.
I do like or find it interesting that Jared Leto says there's enough cut Joker footage to make an entire Joker movie. I don't
sure
buy
that's
that.
An exaggeration.
I think that's a
I'm
major
sure it's
exaggeration.
Him improvising takes, and if you string all of his improvised takes together, there's probably enough different footage to make a 90-minute movie.
Well, one thing is pretty
that
cool.
That doesn't make any sense, and it's just him being weird.
One thing about Suicide Squad, we seem to talk about it every fucking pod ever since the movie came out. But anyway, we'll move
that's
on
funny.
Then. So, so LaBeouf almost was cast, but he was not.
But he was not.
Sadly,
yes.
He was not.
Yes.
So, and then to stay, I guess, into the DC Universe news.
To quote a PLL writer, heaven forbid they do anything interesting.
Jeez.
I really like to know what they're referring to, but we'll talk about that off.
Yeah.
The other DC news was Joe, how do you say his last name?
Ganello?
Maganello, is that his name?
I think
Okay.
Mangello.
Mangello. From Magic Mike. Andrew Blood. He's officially been cast as Deathstroke the Terminator, and I guess that is officially the bad guy in Batflex.
Is the announcement that he is officially the bad guy, or just that he's in it?
Well, apparently, I didn't even know this, but apparently they already confirmed the rap. Confirmed with Warner Brothers a week ago that footage of Deathstroke was for the Batman movie because they had to clarify that it was for Batman, not for Justice League.
That's weird.
Okay.
And then today they confirmed that, or maybe yesterday, today they confirmed that Joe is.
They don't even have a release date for the Batman movie, right?
No, it's like
Is that what they're going to call it, the Batman?
I think they're calling it the Batman. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
That's fine.
Badass.
2019, I think, is the target date right now. So they haven't officially slid that in there, but they have that date staked out, and they don't have anything there. So
what purpose does that serve, really? Because here's how I would market this new Batman movie.
I missed what Josh said. What did you just say?
No,
he made an inappropriate joke. Yeah. Don't worry. You can listen to the pod. All right. And hear it.
All right.
I hope not.
I don't want to listen to this.
So we talk about marketing here and there and how, Deadpool was an example or is an example of fantastic marketing that they clearly knew their subject matter, they clearly knew how to market it, and they executed it perfectly. I mean, even after the movie's release and we went on to DVD, watching you unwrap that string cheese is mesmerizing. Sorry, guys.
Interesting.
It's just weird. Anyway, so even after that, the billboards went up that it was advertising the particular brand of alcohol, and it said stuff like "put your mouth on it" and all of that, which is funny. I mean, that's one big innuendo again. So even after it, you know, they're still marketing this thing beautifully. Suicide Squad started out with some really great marketing. Well, the second trailer, at least. And then they just totally missed the mark on it.
The marketing was the reason that movie made so much damn money.
Yeah, it was.
The marketing was very successful.
It was bizarre. And then you have a movie like Ghostbusters this summer with some pretty terrible marketing for a while that really missold the movie for a lot of people.
Yes.
But it wound up being really fun and enjoyable, honestly. So I guess my point with all of this is this. I think there is a really fine line between marketing something too soon and releasing stuff too soon, but also giving fans enough because you have to give them something. Otherwise, they're not going to care anymore. And I know in this day and age, especially with the state of the DC universe, you have to give them something because they're trying to repair damage from BVS, from Suicide Squad now, and trying to kind of save this
something that people
DC
can get excited about.
I don't even know if they really have to like do anything. They can just keep making the movies they're making, and people are still going to go see it because Suicide Squad made what they thought it would compared to BVS. Like, I mean, obviously they wanted BVS to make more in the beginning,
right?
But where it's stopped, and then where Suicide Squad is currently, comic book movies can't be stopped. Apparently,
like, no, I guess not. But
no matter how hard people try,
here's a bit of free, you know, consumer advice from a designer. market it in a fun way. So there's all this mystery surrounding the Batman and what's going to happen in this movie. Use that. Use the mysteriousness of the figure. Use the detective background of the figure and generate some marketing based on that, where fans have to work a little bit. Not a lot, where they get frustrated with that too, but do something like that where it's fun. You're not necessarily releasing stuff wide too early, but people slowly figure it out. It's like the marketing for Prometheus. Say what you will about Prometheus. A lot of people hated it. A lot of people loved it. It was pretty split down the middle, which I think is a sign of a good movie because it had two very separate camps. But they released...
Or an interesting one, at least.
Or an interesting one, yeah. They released clips, images, all kinds of stuff, but people had to go on this Weyland-Yutani-based site, or just Weyland site, and unlock things. And depending on how many people went on it, how many people did this or that, that would unlock more and more things, which then went wide to the public. So, you know, you adopt a model like that. You have to be patient. You don't get to just throw shit at people. But I feel like that would be a better marketing tool for the Batman versus, oh yeah,
like a 15-second Twitter.
Boom, Deathstroke's going to be in it. Great. Awesome.
Well, I don't believe for half a second that footage was actually for the Batman.
No, it's not.
No, probably. It's just test.
No. They just had to specify that Deathstroke is not going to be in Justice League. He's going to be in Batman. I think
he's going to be in Justice League, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, you don't think
why else would you have that footage 3 years out? You wouldn't. You wouldn't have the costume made. Wow. You wouldn't have Joe Mangiello cast.
Yeah,
he's gonna be in Justice League. They're trying to do what you're saying, where they're like, "Well, maybe." They're trying to be coy when Ben Affleck's already like, "I fucking put it out there, and you're not gonna yell at me because you need me to write and direct this movie." And by the way, every Oscar bait film you have coming out for the next 3 years is also made by me. So shut the fuck up, or I'll fuck you like a man.
Well, I gotta tell you, the accountant looks amazing.
Apparently
there's a cool trailer.
I watched the Live by Night trailer, and it's awesome.
Yeah, both of those look great. They're on my list of things to see for sure.
Well, I get
really passionate about marketing because there are so many failed attempts, and it just bugs the shit out of me when it could be simply fixed. Even from a business standpoint, it could be simply fixed. So
agreed.
I don't know.
Agreed. That's another reason why there's so many of these great movies like we talked about when I did our top five of summer. All mine were all movies that made under $50 million because they don't market these small movies.
Or look at a movie like Midnight Special, which I finally watched.
Don't need to market Batman versus Superman. People are gonna fucking go see that just because of the name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kubo and the Two Strings, ain't nobody know what the hell that is unless you're out there showing, hey, look at the cool work that they did on this movie. You know, so
this is why I'm gonna write. I'm gonna write a post, and it's been stewing in my mind for the past.
We haven't
month
written anything for about, a while. Sorry, folks.
We haven't. Yeah, about how
busy over here.
The internet, in a way, has kind of killed movie making, in a way, because you have movies, you know, like Star Wars and Ghostbusters, the originals, where there wasn't a huge presence like that where you're reaching millions of fans on a daily basis and you're having to give them tidbits of your movie on a daily basis. You can put out stuff in a magazine, you know, do an interview or a newspaper or a radio show, you know, whatever. But you're not going to... Now you can't rely on that. So you have to market on the interwebs, as it were. And I think that's kind of ruined some of the magic, as it were.
Yeah. You're probably right.
It's a thought-provoking thing.
Anyway, moving on from marketing.
Kyle has no thoughts.
The business,
I don't at the moment.
The business
it's
side.
It's a large concept I will have to contemplate.
Yes.
We all,
and then respond at a later date. Yes.
We all want to
get out later.
We're all storytellers. We're not...
we are.
We're not business-thinking entertainment folk.
Yeah, but the story of business is the story of humanity. And the story of America.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Sounded good in my head.
So moving on. Other news. iPhone 7. Is taking pre-orders tomorrow.
Yes,
so that
taking
could
pre-orders
be exciting.
In, according
or,
to my iPhone,
oh,
4 hours and 12 minutes.
Was that a soft plug for iPhones?
No,
or
no,
a hard plug?
We were just talking
plug
about iPhone,
and Kyle's just telling you he's probably going to pre-order it.
Yes,
I will be pre-ordering it.
I was told. I was told, and maybe you guys, since I'm not. I always get the second to latest version because I wait until the new one comes out, and then I go buy. Backwards, yeah, because it's usually cheaper, and I get it, you know, with signing up for the fucking 2 years or whatever it is.
Yeah,
but I have a question for you because somebody told me that you should always get the 7S or the second one because they fix all the bugs that happened on the, that they made for the first bump.
I think that makes sense. That's like console releases.
Yeah.
Like, you get the first Xbox and you get the Red Ring of Death, but you get the one that comes out 8 months later.
Yeah.
It can play DVDs!
Yeah! And it can play HD discs. Oh, wait, those failed because the Blu-ray killed it.
That's right, the first Xbox had that little, that extra...
it's an external HD
DVD.
Yeah.
Well,
Kyle, I don't know, maybe part of you are too, but you're our resident Apple expert as far as phones go, and or actually Apple in general. Is what's going to be exciting about this one? Are they, is there anything...
Newer and faster. I mean, there's nothing that... somewhat water-resistant...
So it's not like the one
there's no
Wayne,
headphone jack.
Pouring the
champagne
on it.
It's harder to interface with things.
But yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna need new plugs. Actually, it comes with an adapter.
It does.
It comes with a Lightning to 3.5 millimeter.
Because the headphones are adapter. Now gonna plug into your Lightning.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give them credit though. Like, I hear that today, and I'm like, that's absurd. Like, I want a headphone jack, but in 5 years, I'll be like, everything will be wireless.
My favorite comment on it was like, in 2 years, Apple's gonna introduce a headphone jack like they invented it. I mean, there's nothing that special about it. It's newer, it's faster, it's brighter, it's better, it's, you know,
yeah,
so, like, it's just the new iPhone.
The camera's better.
When did the thumbprint thing come? What iPhone?
That's been since the six. Yeah,
so that's the one I have.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's nothing like that. Nothing like.
Nothing
retinal.
I mean, they
scan
have a new. The new home button is different.
It's a pressure home button.
Yeah.
So depending on how you press or how hard or soft, it does different things. Siri's integrated more with apps little bit, and they'll probably give developers more support.
There is a new Mario game coming.
I saw that.
Yes.
That I'm looking forward
Which,
to.
Isn't it the same one that's already
you
on
have to buy that
Wii U or whatever, or
Mario
a different kind of a different
Run?
Version
Super
of that?
Mario Run.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No,
I
think
know.
I think
I haven't played Wii U at all.
I haven't either.
The limited knowledge I have about that game, it was developed for iOS.
That is my understanding.
Or
it's
phones,
an endless run
for phones.
It's,
okay.
So he just runs and you just keep jumping and jumping on enemies and spinning and other stuff.
Yeah,
cool.
But I still want to.
I heard that if you watch porn on it, it automatically clears your history trail.
Well,
and if it senses somebody coming, it automatically swipes to another window.
I hope you're serious, because that would be
when you say it senses somebody coming.
Yes.
Moving on.
Oh, man.
It is water resistant.
Yeah. I'm waiting till it has the full sapphire glass screen. And that'll probably come with 8, I'm going to guess.
I don't know. I may do the... Because they have, like, now all the phone companies are changing their thing. Where, like, you don't really get, like, a discount on it, on the phones now.
No, it's all
instead, you're paying
month.
Them monthly for the phone.
You're leasing the phone, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Leasing to
but
actually, that's what I'm doing now
but
with this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, so you have the three options. You can buy it outright, you can do the two-year, you pay monthly, and then you get to keep the phone at the end. Or they have, like, the 1 year where you basically just keep making the monthly payment, and then when the new one comes out, you can swap without, I think, making a down payment, and you basically just continue your monthly payment.
Ooh, I like that idea.
So it's basically like if you just agree, like, I'm going to pay AT&T $42 for the rest of my life, just get the new phone every year, then.
I mean, my cell phone bill is effing ridiculous because of that. It's like, you know, it's over $150. So it's...
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of worth it, but...
It's all right.
That's because I didn't have $1,000 to pay for the phone outright in the beginning.
Well, no, and that's how they get you every time. It's, but you're still paying them the same amount of money, just over a longer
Which is fine, but they don't, I think with...
I can't wait.
Depending on who you do it with, it's like a $20 addition.
Yeah.
Versus the normal price. So that's not bad.
No, mine's $50.
Yeah. And be careful with Apple Care, too, because that's added on
my bill.
Plans.
No. I'm saying... You're paying, over the 2 years, you're paying about $20 more than you would if you just bought the phone outright.
Yeah, yes, you are paying more, and I actually think it might be a little bit more than that.
It depends on which phone and where you buy it and all that shit.
Yeah, it's true. Because my buddy at the AT&T store, he was trying to convince me not to do that, and I was like, well, bro, I don't have $800 on me right now. He was trying to convince me not to do that. He says, eventually you're going to end up paying like $140, $150 more for this phone. I was like, I still want the phone. I was going to Comic-Con, my phone wasn't working, I had to have a new phone.
No, that's fair.
So I told him, I was like, give me this damn phone and give me that deal. I don't care. But yes, it's kind of a pain. Moving on, there was a big birthday today.
It was, yes.
Star Trek turned 50 years old today. 50 years since the broadcast of the very first episode, which I believe was Where No Man Gone Before.
Where No Man Has Gone Before, yeah. That was
the very
which
first one.
has Captain Pike.
No. That's the Cage. Captain Premier. That's the Cage.
Oh.
The first episode, let me make sure I got this right.
Because they end up, for broadcast, they ended up cutting the original pilot into two episodes.
Yeah.
And telling
that as flashbacks. And that was when they met Captain Pike when he was in his little wheelchair with the single light.
That's where No Man Goes Before. That's that episode.
Because it starts with, Pike. I mean, the first episode chronologically that I remember seeing is Pike going down.
The worst Star Trek
movie. Right. That's,
with Spock and everybody.
That's the Cage.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah, that's the Cage. That pilot never was aired. And actually, I don't
know. But it's on
the Man
Trap. Netflix, I think.
The Man Trap is
on Netflix.
Episodes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and it's on the DVDs. Like, you can watch The Cage, and it's been released many times over now. But The Man Trap premiered on September 8th, 1966. And according to this, The Cage premiered November 27th, 1988. So that's when they finally showed it on TV.
There you go.
With Christopher Pike.
Bingo.
That first season of Star Trek, those first two seasons of Star Trek, are pretty damn wonderful. And I remember when I was a kid, I watched the premiere of Next Generation, which will turn 30 years next year. Jesus.
Yes.
No, 40 years next
30,
year.
40?
No, 30. 30. 30. God, I can't do math.
30,
It's 30, It's 30. I'm turning 40 next year. Anyway, and my dad would try to... And I already known the movies, and I love the movies, but my dad was always trying to get me to watch the original show, but I was such an idiot and 10 years old and stupid, and I couldn't grasp the fact that this show took place in the future, but it looked like crap. Because I mean, it was just a bunch of rubber. It was just
Christmas
a bunch
tree
of
lights
rubber.
And things.
Yeah, it was dudes in costumes. The Gorn looked absolutely ridiculous, although he did scare me. Oh my! All the rocks were rubber. All Shatner was yelling all the damn time because he was a Shakespearean actor, and he was, you know, just overacting the shit out of it. But
well, there were a lot of Shakespearean tones to that.
I mean, that's why he put on weight, was chewing all the scenery.
Nice. He had a really, really good girdle, I guess, apparently.
He did. And a great toupee.
Yeah. An amazing toupee, because he still wears it, I believe.
It's the same one. He just gets it dry cleaned every month.
Oh, Shatner, we love you so much. You know what's funny? A little Shatner side note. He wasn't even the voice, but that early episode of Family Guy, where Shatner was starring, and he kept bouncing around the screen.
Yes.
And then at the end, he goes, "Beat me up, God." And then he dies, and then his belly flops out. Oh, that's so wonderful. Anyway, when I finally sat down to watch that original series, I realized how amazing it actually was, especially the writing, because they could get away with all the social commentary that you could not get away with on TV in the
60s.
You couldn't talk about any kind of racial issues. You couldn't talk about...
Well, first interracial kiss happens.
Yes.
Which is fantastic.
Hoorah and Kirk.
Are you sure it wasn't between Kirk and one of the Orion slave girls?
Nah. That
doesn't count.
I think that would be...
Green women are okay.
Borderline sexism. You might get some feminist action against that episode today. But,
It doesn't matter what he's kissing as long as it's not black. No matter what.
Okay.
So, anyway. Dan will no longer be on the podcast now.
No, he's not.
No, I'm kidding. I know that's not your opinion. That was the joke.
I get it. Okay.
I mean, I remember my dad growing up. Well, I don't remember him growing up with it, but he would tell me stories about he watched it every single week that it was on. And I would watch it here and there when I was old enough to kind of understand somewhat. And I thought it was kind of hokey, but it was space, and I liked space, and that was cool. And then, obviously, Next Generation came out, and that's what I really grew up with, was Next Generation.
And the third season of the Next Generation happened, and it changed the whole game.
Yes. So, no, it was good.
Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, and now soon to be Kyle's favorite Star Trek, Discovery.
Discovery. we'll see. I have faith.
Find it on CBS Access.
Yeah, all access.
Ouch.
Well, not much access.
Apparently that's already launched.
CBS Access? Or All Access? It might
be. I keep getting advertisements.
I mean, if you're an octogenarian and want to watch reruns of NCIS on your iPad...
Yeah, but that's why I was disappointed. They don't even have the entire. They don't even have entire.
I
want
to binge watch Becker. What happened to Becker?
Ted Danson.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
So, all right. Well,
that's funny.
Before we get into my question for you guys relating to Star Trek, I think just one other thing is that the original series appreciates as you get older. I think you look at it when you're younger, most people or most kids do, is, oh, this is cool space adventure, whatever, it's kind of cheesy by today's standards, but like my dad watching it, he probably thought, cool, this is an awesome space adventure. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm older and I've been through the, oh yeah, this is cool, but it's kind of hokey, I appreciate how, you know, how good it was on social commentary, how well written the episodes were, even though there were some pretty silly episodes, but they're great.
My mom was telling me, and she's obviously the furthest thing from a nerd, she remembers watching Batman and Star Trek, and the big appeal for those shows was they were in color. Like, you know, color TV was a brand new thing around that time, and all of a sudden it was all these big bright colors everywhere. It's like, oh my God. And then, you know, you watch Star Trek like on cassette, and it just obviously doesn't compare to the things we watch now. But then they've released it on Blu-ray, and now I can kind of see probably, I feel the way they did when they first saw that big color splash on the TV.
Yeah. Even though it probably looked closer to the VHS worn out copy.
Oh no, for sure. For sure. But it's just you know, that's the closest thing we could get to that kind of discovery, as it were.
Yeah. So if you had to pick one or two favorite episodes from the run of the original series, what would they be? You don't have to know the titles, but describe what happened in the episode. Yeah.
Well, the one...
Mine's pretty easy.
Actually. And this is, I think, probably maybe it's even Dan's, I don't know. This is probably the most obvious one.
Uh-huh.
Where they go back to, like, I don't even remember when it is. If it's, like, fucking Wild West or something. And there's the woman there that Kirk falls in love with.
Oh.
But she has to die for, like, the future
That's
to happen.
That's an amazing episode.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
Awesome. And he has to let her die,
That's
even though he could
episode.
Save her and wants to
yeah.
save her.
And
That's
cool. And I'm pretty sure that
That's
was...
That's an amazing
That was an actress
episode.
Of note, too. I want to say it was, like... Joan Collins or some crap. It was like, not
no
like
idea.
A super famous woman, but she's like,
but
she's
was
famous in the 80s.
That was like...
Oh, was, some crap used to get a lot of work.
let me
yeah,
see.
Because that was, I mean, and it was the least, I mean, not the least, but it was among the less sort of cheesy visually, because
yes.
they were on, you know, they were on a backlot on a Western set. You
right.
know, it wasn't like... We have to create an alien planet out of cardboard and rubber.
Yeah, and here's
you know.
This building, and it's awesome,
yeah.
and it's futuristic.
Or we're going to go out to the rocks again.
Yeah,
it was Joan Collins, and the movie is called The City, or the episode was called
City
on the
Edge
of Forever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it has a 9.3 rating on IMDb, so you picked
so, yeah,
a pretty damn good
go.
One.
That is a good one.
I would say that's definitely one of my favorites. My favorite is probably, and it's I think it's cheating, because it spawned the best movie in the Star Trek canon, Space Seed, the very first episode
with
Khan Noonien Singh. Actually,
yeah.
the only episode with Khan Noonien Singh.
Right.
And because I just remember watching Ricardo Montalban, and that dude is so friggin' mesmerizing when he's doing anything. Like, he is the most interesting man in the world. You know, I have a feeling that's who that guy based his performance on a little bit. Maybe it's just the accent. But
it's just,
I love that episode, and it spawned that great movie. I mean, Wrath of Khan is still the best Star Trek movie, in my opinion, although...
of the originals,
Star Trek,
I would agree.
Star Trek 09 and Star Trek First Contact can challenge it, because those are both fantastic movies.
Yeah.
Josh, you've been kind of quiet over there. Do you not know the original
it's
series as well?
Like, kind of a controversial opinion, but I'd have to say Return of the Jedi.
Well, I love that you said that, because that's my favorite Star Wars.
All right, that's a discussion for Escape Pod.
That is.
Although, as you said, there is Escape Pods in Star Trek.
Yes, there are.
That's fair.
But yes,
which
you're
would
right.
make Star Trek a discussion for Escape Pod.
I could talk for hours on Return of the Jedi. I freaking love Return of the Jedi. But anyway, yeah, we're talking about Star Trek.
Yeah,
I couldn't pick one out of a bucket.
That one?
The
where
one
the tribbles? the guys are half white and half black, and the other guys are half black and half white.
Well,
actually, that is one of my favorites. The title of it is
fantastic.
Let That Be Your Last Battlefield.
Yeah.
And it's basically a social commentary on, you know, racism. That's really what it's about, and
exactly.
why we go to war and the silly reasons we do that, and seeing past skin color. And what's funny about it is, yeah, it's the exact reverse, and it's juxtaposing that, okay, well, you guys are, you know, white on the right side of your face and black on the left side, but we're black on the right side of our face and white on the left side, and we're clearly different. Well, no, you guys are people.
Look in a mirror.
Right?
Yeah, and Shatner, what? I think Shatner's, I mean, he doesn't say it so bluntly, but he does allude to that, like, how are you guys realizing you're not, you're almost exactly the same?
Yes.
And they get really offended by that. Yes. So,
yeah. And he looks at the camera and goes, right, 1960s America?
But at the time, you couldn't say things like that on TV. Absolutely. I mean, that was a, you know, hot-button topic. And so, using sci-fi as kind of a blanket to discuss social commentary, that's what sci-fi has always been about. Science fiction, you know, progressing humanity and talking about things that are problems without having to discuss them necessarily. Or,
A little fun side story, and then we'll move off Star Trek.
So Moorhead can pay attention again.
The next subject.
No, I'm not giving you a shit.
That's true. And the next subject has to do with probably what he's looking at right now.
Yes.
But I was going to say
your mom.
We should look at that.
What?
Playing football.
Yes. So, on the night that Star Trek premiered, September 8th, 1966. Gene Roddenberry's father went out to all his neighbors door to door and apologized for his son's terrible show. Which I thought was kind of cute and funny because obviously he did not know the amazingness that this show would eventually rot.
Oh, man, yeah. It's a cultural icon.
And that dad was Adolf Hitler.
Yes. But for the record, Adolf Hitler is not Gene Roddenberry's dad. Anyway, yes. So Gene Roddenberry's dad went and apologized for how bad his son's TV show was, and eventually it became beloved by millions and millions of people the world over. So happy 50th birthday, Star Trek. We love you. Moving on. All right.
Except for Josh.
He just likes you a whole lot. Well, that's because Star Trek's not married.
Oh, I see what we're doing. Yeah. We're doing personal stuff now.
Right.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding, Josh. All right,
move along.
Keep it going.
So, another happening today, football season has opened. And I know this isn't quite nerd talk, but come on.
Fantasy football. Nerd.
You can be nerdy about a variety of things, yes. and there are sports nerds.
And both Josh and I believe, do you have players playing tonight?
Like one or two, yeah.
So not Cam Newton.
That's right. Smart. I wanted him to
play the long con.
You hope everyone forgets you have Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, what? You do it in your other league. I was like, because you don't have an art league.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody cares about anybody else's fantasy football league.
No. Okay. Anyway, Carolina Panthers. It's the first. Oh, this is kind of interesting, though. It is the first time since 1970, the Super Bowl teams faced off in the opening game of the season. So
interesting.
It's kind of crazy. Carolina Panthers versus the Denver Broncos tonight, and I believe Carolina's winning.
Well, the game was more interesting when there was a zombie quarterback, though.
Peyton. Now they took him out back and shot him. It's much less fun.
Sad.
It's fine. It's fine.
Now, I really do think that commercial of him calling Eli saying, hey, you want to come over to watch whatever? And he's just like, no, Peyton, I got to play. He's like, sitting in his robe. So Peyton Manning at least has got a future on TV as commercials.
That's fair.
For like another 2 weeks.
As a forehead model.
He'll sell it as billboard space.
Yeah.
That's what'll happen.
That's awful.
Say Papa John's and it'll glow.
If you're friends with him, he's like a free in-home theater. You just
project. Oh, wow.
Right there.
Could that also be converted to a drive-in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Porn.
So,
Peyton's drive-in.
Where he narrates the movie for you.
Forehead.
Oh, God, that would be the worst.
If you don't have any audio, you just project it, and he talks the whole movie.
That would
does
be horrible.
All the parts.
That would be horrible.
I don't know. That could be amazing.
Well, this is the day of my...
Not suspiciously like your George Lucas voice, except not through a turkey neck.
Yeah. It's like an unfiltered George Lucas.
Yeah. George Lucas.
Omaha!
A few years ago...
Omaha!
Yes, a few years ago, I... when I was writing for the Schmoes Know website, which doesn't exist anymore, but Schmoes still exists, I wrote, I couldn't believe I found this, I had a top 25 football movies.
Oh, shit.
There was probably at least 10-15 more I could have included on the list. There's out of any sport, I'm pretty sure that one, well, maybe baseball, but
baseball
there are
a
ton of football movies. It's hard for me to pick a favorite, because every year I kind of have these staples where I watch these three or four every football season, which I haven't done this year. But before I mention which ones I watch, do you guys have a favorite football movie that sticks out in your mind?
Silence. Yes.
I mean, remember the Titans? I guess it's always great.
Okay.
I'll remember the Titans.
Well, I'll just mention the five that I always watch, and then if you guys, I always watch. Remember the Titans, Rudy, with Bilbo Baggins.
Rudy. Sean
Bilbo Baggins. What's his character's name?
Rudy. Rudy is.
Oh, I don't know.
Other
Samwise.
Samwise Gangrene. Sorry, Josh.
I
should have been
he has gangrene anywhere in the movie, but
no, he doesn't.
I mean, he did a lot of walking in a lot of weird places. He probably caught something, probably just a cut on his foot in the wrong place, and you know,
either to burrow down to the dead marshes. You know,
so much walking in
those. Sure, those sound like Lord of the Rings places.
They are.
What are your other movies? You have Rudy. You have
Rudy.
Remember the Titans.
The Program with James Caan.
Oh,
excellent, excellent, friggin' movie.
I don't know that one.
Mm-hmm, you should see it. Any Given Sunday. With Oliver Stone directed, Al Pacino, Jamie Foxx star,
Elizabeth Hurley,
LL Cool J.
Elizabeth Hurley was in that. Yeah, she wasn't.
Cameron Diaz.
She's like the hooker
or
something.
Oh yeah,
she's the boss.
Take me seriously.
Yes.
I'm hot.
she's like the owner of the Indians in Major League.
Yeah,
like that's how I remember that character. Is like that. They're the same character, just separated by like 30 years.
And the other one is kind of a little.
Is it Adam Sandler's The Longest Yard?
No, but I wasn't.
The Youngest Yard. That's a different kind.
Very different movie.
Is it Adam Sandler's The Water
Boy?
That's
the Jared Fogle story.
No, but I forgot about that one. Holy crap. I forgot about The Water Boy. No, The Longest Yard, the remake of the Burt Reynolds classic.
Yes.
The inmates play the guards.
Sure.
No, the other one was a small movie called Lucas with Corey Haim. And there's not a lot of football in it, but Charlie Sheen plays the star quarterback, and it was Corey Haim's. I don't know if it was his first movie, but it was very early in his career.
You know what movie I'm disappointed that you
didn't
mention?
When he was being passed around to Hollywood executives.
There's one movie I'm disappointed you didn't mention. It's a very important special.
I probably watched that one too.
It's probably the first football movie I remember watching, and that is
The Quarterback Princess,
Little Giants.
Oh my God! Yes, that's my answer.
Yes.
Yes, the
and
annexation
John,
of Puerto
John
Rico.
John Madden did a cameo in it.
Yes. Devin Sala.
Yeah.
Ed Bundy.
Mm-hmm,
Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Bundy?
No. Is it Ed? What the hell is
Ted.
It?
Al.
Al Bundy. That's
Al Bundy.
Right.
Ted Bundy's
God.
A murderer.
I don't know who the hell Ed Bundy is.
It sucks that Michael Jordan didn't try and play football instead of baseball.
That's right, it is.
So
I
could count Space Jam. But
well, if you want to do blanket sports movies.
No. I, oddly enough, even though I pitched this idea, I'm going to go with a movie I've never actually seen. But
favorite football movie I've ever not seen
is
Last Boy Scout. Just because how could I not love that movie if I ever actually watch it?
I'll let you borrow it. I have it. It's on a double feature DVD with Last Man Standing, the other Bruce Willis classic from the 90s.
I tried to watch Last Man Standing once.
It's like Die Hard in a town.
It's not true.
I don't know what it is.
It's like Die Hard if I hated it.
It's kind of boring.
Last Boy Scout's
fun, though.
Yeah.
Because he's basically playing John McClane.
Right.
So it's a lost Die Hard movie. So.
You know what the next Star Trek movie
Damon
should
Wayans.
Be? Just to make this nerdy again.
What?
It should be Die Hard on the Enterprise.
Well, shit, they're doing Die Hard in a mall.
I'm just saying.
Mallrats 2.
Just saying. Die Hard in the Enterprise.
That's what Paul Blart was.
I never saw Paul Blart.
Yeah.
So. Isn't there a sequel?
I thought it was like
that?
The comedy
there
version
is.
Of Observe and Report.
Yeah.
But more fucked up.
Right. Yeah.
Well, at least Kevin James is returning to TV in a brand new show.
Yeah.
It's called King of Queens.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same show, right?
It's pretty much the same show.
I don't
show.
Know. I didn't see King of Queens. I have good taste.
I'm being sarcastic because I've seen the preview for that new Kevin James show, and it literally looks exactly like the King of Queens. Like the exact same show.
Okay, so I'm going to completely hijack the pod for a second.
Do it. Great.
In honor of football, specifically fantasy football.
Oh, yeah, I got to check.
I want to do a... Put your phone down. No cheating on this. I want to do a quick fantasy draft of bounty hunters.
Why not?
Movie bounty hunters?
I don't... Because it's the first thing I thought of that we could draft from multiple franchises. Okay?
Wow.
If you have something better, you
go
for it.
No. I was just curious why you came up with
I don't have a reason. Dang. I couldn't think of.
Well, we know what all number one draft pick would be.
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
okay. So Potter wants Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Wait, I said Boba Fett.
No, you didn't. Potter said it first.
Stole you it go from back me. And
you can have Jango. You can have Jango Fett.
Or Sam Wessel.
Oh, I thought
Jango was the original. Okay. He's the OG.
Sam Wessel or Dengar or
they don't have to be from Star Wars.
Yeah.
There's no other bounty hunters.
What about that? Is it?
I was gonna say Deckard. Does he count?
Yeah, he's kind of a bounty hunter, I guess.
Is he a bounty hunter?
He's a replicant hunter.
No, not a detective.
Okay. They only go after replicants.
I never saw the movie.
We're talking about Blade Runner people. In
yes,
DC,
yeah,
so
it's a fantastic movie.
I'm the horrible one here.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. I mean, you can go with Sam Wessel.
Other bounty hunters.
So,
how about
bounty hunter / mercenary?
How about Bruce Willis in Looper?
He's not a bounty hunter. He's just.
I guess he's a hitman. Technically, yeah. Looper, yeah.
There's way more hitmen than there are bounty hunters.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't say hitman.
Well, I can't think of any more bounty hunters. Is the girl?
That's your. You suck at bounty hunter. You can pick Suckus.
You know
there's
what?
Four. There's like another dozen just in Star Wars.
I also want.
I thought we were sticking off Star Wars.
I also
no,
want
no, no,
dog.
I meant to say you can't
I also
do
want
some
dog
Star
the
Wars.
Bounty hunter. Dog and Boba Fett.
That works. Django
doesn't matter.
Not even Django like Django Freeman.
Yeah.
He said Django or Django Unchained.
No.
Oh, that Django.
Yeah.
Samus Aran from Metroid.
Oh, she's a bounty hunter?
She's a bounty
yes.
hunter?
Okay, we're moving on. Yeah, you guys ruined this for me.
Yeah, no, that was
this is going
to
be fun.
Well, I'm trying to get involved. I'm just trying to remember. And
what's
I'm
next?
Staring at Josh's face. Is
wow.
Yeah. That was
do you guys need to have a moment right now?
No.
I think they already did.
Oh.
We just didn't catch it.
Under the
I
table.
Guess not. All right.
Okay.
I think
so
he's
well,
just registering.
Hot. All right.
So you guys, you three, went and saw something this weekend that I didn't because I was sitting
Jesus
in a cafe
about that.
Until like 11 p.m. writing. Tell us about it.
Sure. Make us feel bad that you did something.
Yeah, you were working.
Yeah, I was working. I'm
whatever.
Sorry.
Dick.
That's fine.
Anyway,
productive.
So the Josh's
whatever.
And
what
myself.
Kyle was doing isn't going to die this year.
Oh, man.
Oh, come
no,
on.
No, but.
Man.
But it's going to die next
no.
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to die in June of next year.
That's the big over-under right there.
We're
gonna drop.
Cryogenics.
Death
Race. Which lasts longer.
Wait,
Death Race John Williams or Pretty Little
Liars. Oh, I thought you were writing something else. Never mind.
No, I was working on the PLL finale.
Jesus Christ. Put me in a bad place when you said he's
so okay. Well, then one of the Joshes.
The
right.
two, the two
how
Joshes.
Was, how was Mr. Williams?
We didn't say it.
I did. I said John Williams. They went and saw John Williams at the Hollywood Bowl.
Stomped all over our fan.
Well, you weren't saying
well,
it.
Well, maybe I was gonna.
I was trying to say.
Oh my God,
Josh
you guys, it's out there.
Die.
Let's just keep going.
I know.
God.
All right, so we went and saw John Williams in concert with Jesus. With all
Jesus
of
was there?
No.
Oh,
no
might as well.
He should have been. Yeah, he should have been.
Jim Caviezel?
Spiritual.
No.
Josh was weeping like he saw friggin' Jesus.
I cried,
so.
Hey, I had tears.
How drunk were you, though?
Not that much.
Oh, that makes me happier, then.
Yeah.
But you
guys, no, that,
it would
have
been easier
legit.
To cry
when you're drunk.
I was
basically sober by that point.
Nice.
Before we talk about how amazing this was, you have to tell us the story of why you got shushed during intermission of all times.
No,
what was that about?
Yes.
I have no idea. I wasn't cursing
much.
No, I wasn't at all. It was in the middle of intermission, and I think maybe I was doing like a Valley Girl voice or something for some reason. And then this like dude behind me is just like, hey. Did you just, like, shut up or something? And then literally everyone around us was like... Cause
yeah,
we were
shut
like,
up, Josh.
We were, like, in a normal conversation, and I just slipped into, like, whatever, you know? And then, like, the dude's just like, cut it out. And everybody's like...
What is that
I was, and normally I would try and be decent, but I was like, dude, it's fucking... I was like, it's intermission,
it's
man.
Intermission, yeah.
And then he's like, it doesn't much matter. He was, like, there for, like... I don't know.
The intermission. That was
his time. There's people that go the bowl and they can only afford the nosebleeds that I was in, but they want it to be the Garden Box experience, you know?
Right.
Which
right.
is not going to happen.
No.
Even in the Garden Box, people talk during intermission.
What is this?
And everybody was
concept.
Like, what the hell? And I was like, I guess we're in detention now. We got to.
Oh, I hope
I was like,
you kept
I was like, I did. I was like, heads down on your desks, everyone.
It's Josh. He talked louder and faster
and
more Valley Girl.
It was just.
Was it? Was it you I with when I got we got yelled at by that old lady because we were talking out in front of her window?
Yeah.
I'm so glad I wasn't sitting with you because I would have been thrown out of John Williams. Oh my God, I would have.
But that wasn't my favorite too. Like interaction.
No, of course not.
No.
My favorite crowd interaction moment
was with a small child.
Was when. Yeah, it was.
I know.
It was in the first half when David Newman was like, this next song gets a little sexy. And then at the same exact time, me and the six-year-old boy sitting next to me both go, ooh! And all my friends were like, my friends were like, you know you just made the same sound as your six-year-old boy? I was like, yeah, it was awesome. And his dad was like, cracking up.
So
how was the show?
The show was great. It started with David Newman. He conducted first and played a lot of great pieces.
When they did The Godfather, that really got to me.
Yeah.
The Godfather was music great. Is just... Sabrina was good. I had forgotten how good the score for Sabrina is.
That's John Williams.
That it was John Williams for some reason.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
I like
as
that
well.
Movie too.
It's a great movie.
I actually have never seen the original Humphrey Bogart movie, which I wish I.
It's good. I prefer the remake.
Just because Han Solo's in it.
Exactly.
I mean, we have a bias. Come on,
Han Solo, Greg Kinnear, and then that one girl who was popular for like 10 minutes, Julia Ormond. She was like everywhere at that time.
Yeah, and she was great.
And she
too.
Disappeared. Well, for American cinema.
Yeah.
But the thing about John Williams is. He's the closest thing to a rock star conductor, like I guess that we, or at least a classic.
No, he's except the literal actual rock star conductor.
He's
wait, there is one.
What's his name?
Andrew W.K.
I am a horrible person right now. Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, Danielle.
Oh, Danielle.
Yeah, Danielle. Yeah. He has like an actual rock band.
Yes.
I mean, Boingo, rock Boingo. Is very, very quotation marks. But yeah,
but I guess, that's what I mean. He's classic.
He's Mozart. He's Beethoven. If this was 1680, then he would be respected in that regard. It's just because there's people that don't view film music, won't put film music scores in the same category as classical composition, but
it's
timeless.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's music that will live.
Star Wars and Jaws and literally. The adventure theme from Indiana Jones, they will age as well as Ode to Joy.
Yeah. Literally, he wrote the soundtrack to our lives. Like, the four of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, all the movies that we always talk about, John Williams scored like 50% of them.
And he could not have. I mean, if you want to talk about in terms of like rock show, like the set list couldn't have been better.
Oh, man.
Yes, the only, I mean,
did he play any new stuff?
He did. He did the BFG.
He did, Which, and he
that's the only one I didn't
recognize. They were like, okay, let's get to Star Wars.
That's the only one I didn't recognize. He played a lot of
Star
Wars.
He did play a lot of Star Wars.
And he encored with Harry Potter and E.T. and Superman.
Superman
was fantastic.
God, I love that score.
That score gives me chills every time, just because it is so glorious and so.
And I remember, because Potter and I were sitting together, but Moorhead was in a different seat, and he was Moorhead was texting us during the show, and like one of the last things I said to him before Williams comes out, I was like, I hope he does Hook. And that's the first fucking one he did.
Man.
And,
it was
and not
so
just
so
like,
awesome.
And not a minute sample. He played like 10 minutes
played
of Hook.
So much of it.
He knew I was
Neverland
out there.
Score, the theme and everything. Man.
He was
beautiful. Yeah, he's just amazing. He's a national treasure, and it will be a sad day when he goes.
And he gave the inside intel too. That's like will melt your nerd heart. Where he's like, I wasn't gonna do episode 8. I'm an old man. But then I realized as long as I'm alive, I won't let anybody else write music for Ray or Daisy Ridley.
He admitted his crush or the fact that he's in love basically with Daisy Ridley. At first we were thinking it was just a character, but no, he actually said Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
And she's an easy person to fall in love with.
Well, sure.
Especially in that part.
If you analyze it, too, I mean, that theme from episode 7 is
it's the best
most standout.
Theme in the, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's
absolutely.
The standout.
You can tell that he spent the most time
the night
on that one.
Of that, I know we talked about it before, but that was like the thing I was most disappointed with Force Awakens was that, to me, the score wasn't instantly as iconic. It's, of course, grown on me. But the only theme I could remember...
In
the following days, and like leaving the theater, was Rey's theme.
Rey's, and then the Jedi steps kind of at the end that leads into more of Rey's theme for the credits.
And the thing about it is I don't think, as much as people don't like the prequels, or a lot of people are, I don't think those people who don't like it cannot say. I heard people as we were leaving saying, "Oh, I wish they played Duel of the Fates," which was the piece during the lightsaber battles.
Yeah, with Darth Maul. And
Darth
that's
Maul.
Good. That's a good piece.
Quite
good.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It was number one on TRL. For Pete's sake.
I know that's crazy.
Remember when there was a TRL?
I do. Attack of the Clones. One of the most memorable things from that movie
across
is the love theme across the stars. Yeah, I mean, even though
that was like the one good thing that Lucas did was he like, "Oh, you scored. You're gonna give me a single on this one." He's like, "Don't have to be a rap song."
I miss Josh's Lucas. We haven't done that in a while.
No,
but yeah, I mean, I can't say that I was disappointed, but the only thing I was sad about was we didn't hear Jurassic Park or Jaws.
Indy.
We didn't get Indy.
So
he played them the night before. Sorry, but
he played Jurassic Park the night before?
That's what somebody told me, yeah.
Because I have never heard him play. I've gone three times, and last year I didn't go, but, well,
maybe
he didn't play last year.
Indy,
but I wonder, he seems more quicker to the other pieces. The first time I saw him, people start literally chanting Jurassic Park, and he was like, "You know what? Fucking Munich." Like, I wonder, like, if he has some
weirder... I wish
weirder,
you would have said those
like,
exact words.
I wonder if he has, like, some weirder personal relationship with Jurassic Park or something. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
He's quick to dive into the other stuff. That's just...
That's pretty...
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's fine.
I mean, all due respect to BFG, I would have rather heard fucking Jurassic Park than
but,
BFG.
Yeah.
Even though BFG is a good score, but it's still...
Even the first half, which was... Just David Newman was really cool. Like, I wanted to
know
when he played, like, Giacchino's themes from Into Darkness, and then he encored with Mission Impossible. I was like, my little nerd heart was exploded.
The theme from North by Northwest, which was great.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the pod. When I went to see Star Trek 2009 about a month or two ago, it was in July, actually, because he mentioned it. You know, we watched the whole movie with a live orchestra.
Right.
Right.
I really recommend anybody, if you get a chance to do that,
it's
please
cool.
do.
It's a great way to experience.
It's a new way that I've never experienced a movie before, and it was fantastic. And it was cool to hear Star Trek Into Darkness from David Newman, because he was like, "Oh, you get the sequel this week," even though we didn't get the whole movie, but we got to watch that opening scene, which Into Darkness, people were divided on how much they like that movie, but I think everybody can agree that opening scene was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it is. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's very iconic,
musically,
classic track.
Visually. Mm-hmm. Ooh, look at the ball back already. Sorry.
Yeah.
So John Williams was fantastic. It would have been nice to have Kyle there to have all four of us, but I understand why Kyle
lots
could not.
Sorry, lots of lightsabers. That was great too. Just seeing literally a sea of lightsabers.
Yeah, I saw the pictures
in
the
audience
on Instagram.
Yeah. And Williams totally embraced that. He
came out with a lightsaber that was so adorable. Yeah. He's waving it around. It was really cute.
Great. He's funny too. He's got a good sense of humor.
He's got a good wit. And
especially for what, 83? Did we decide he was 83 or 84?
He's 83.
83. Okay.
I hope. I'm going to make sure, but I'm pretty sure he's 83. I hope that he can do this another year because I really want to go back. Although apparently he does it at the Walt Disney Concert Hall as well.
That's what
he
was alluding to.
That.
Yeah.
He's like,
"You
guys were at the concert hall the other way," because he lives here in LA. So
yeah,
maybe
we're
that's
lucky
where he
plays
Jurassic
sense.
Park.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That's his warm up every show.
Yeah.
He goes in, does Jurassic Park, and he's like, "Okay, got that out of my system."
No, he's 84. He's 84.
Dang. All right.
He's 84.
Well,
so
he's 84.
Hopefully, Daisy Ridley keeps him young.
He conducted for an hour and a half, and that's including four encores. Like, the man is a legend, an absolute legend. And I stood for all four of those encores.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves all four of those standing ovations.
Yeah. It was a fantastic night, and one I will remember for a very long time.
Yes.
But anyway, so I guess we could start wrapping it up, unless anybody's got anything else. Like I said, it has been pretty slow a couple of weeks.
Oh, I got one more thing.
All right, let's hear
it. To say, and it's just goodbye.
I hate
you
so much sometimes,
you
John.
Ass.
Well, at least he didn't walk out before the pod was over this time.
Oh, we gotta let that go.
Only two people in this room have done that before.
Wait, did you do that too?
No, you did.
I did that.
I don't even remember what it was. But...
Oh, no, that was because I was angry at something he said, but I came back.
Yeah. that was during our X-Men pod, maybe, I think.
Plus, it was a nice little segue into you guys talking about Game of Thrones, because I hadn't seen it yet.
That's fair.
Because it was that awesome episode where Jon Snow was buried amongst the bodies. What's that episode called?
Battle of the Bastards.
Battle of the Bastards.
And
yes.
did we mention on that how that scene came up, like, because they needed to, they had half a day left to shoot and they'd already finished everything. So like, we're going to do something cool. And they just fucking threw that together at the last second.
Yes.
Being buried in the body.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But thanks for saying it again.
Because it is amazing. I just miss
Game of Thrones so much that anytime I could talk about it.
It'll be back eventually.
Yes.
Someday.
Right. In a very long while.
Okay.
Next spring.
Ish.
No, actually it's premiering
unless
the summer.
Global warming.
Oh, it is the summer. That's right. We do have to wait longer. I forgot they pushed
it
back.
Assuming it ever snows again.
Yes. Yeah. Which may not.
It's possible.
So winter is not coming? Is that what you're saying?
It's here.
Yeah, winter is never coming again.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, we need to go away now. All right, so we will be back next week, probably, if, you know, we still like each other.
Probably. Yeah,
we still like each other. One more thing to say, because this just came along. This is hot news here, guys.
I mentioned
the first part of this to Josh earlier, but the South Korean president, I'm not going to pronounce his name, said that North Korea has conducted a nuclear test in a clear violation of a UN Security Council resolution. So,
okay.
World War III, here we come.
All right.
That's all I got.
Okay.
All right. Well, then on that happy note, I am Danny Villalobos. Next to me,
Kyle Bound.
Across from him,
Josh Ward.
Next to him,
Joshua Potter.
We'll see you next week. Love you all.
Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the intertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at thewaywenerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.